C1S. Number 12B.
In that practical way where we feel that each one of us really must be a revelator of a revelation, naturally. Not a personal revelator, though they have their place in history, but as a channel for direct divine revelation. And if we know the laws of the development of practical evolution of such a revelation, we can guide and lead our spiritual development much healthier, much more, with much more assurance and with much more foresight than if we don't know it. Now, what is this connection between revelation and the Bible? If you take the concordance and look up all what she says about the verb to reveal, she always says that science reveals. There is only one statement where she says that the Bible reveals. And even there, it's at the end of Revelation, she means something else than to say that the Bible itself does reveal something to us. But there she just shows that the Bible shows the acme of this, the acme of the science as the Bible reveals it. Else it is always science that reveals, divine science reveals, Christian science reveals. Searching the scriptures, he says, the scriptures were illumined. But does that mean that the Bible revealed as a revelator? She says, even the scripture gave no direct interpretation of the scientific basis of demonstrating the spiritual principle of healing. Here she is quite definite. It says, not even the Bible, not even the scriptures, gave a direct interpretation. Until our Heavenly Father saw fit through the key to the scriptures, that is what was revealed to her from God. Through the key to the scriptures in science and health, to unlock this mystery of godliness. So now we get closer and closer to the relationship between divine revelation and the position of the Bible, that she says only then the scriptures really were illumined, and only then the scripture gave me a right answer, when she herself saw the key to the scripture in science and health, and that key to the scripture unlocked the Bible. The scriptures, namely, to which this Christian science textbook is the key. Pointing out again, you see, that really the Bible did not give the key, but that she gave the key to the Bible. And one gets closer and closer to that feeling that therefore the prime ordinary thing which we need is the direct revelation from God. And that if that direct revelation from God is within us, that reads the Bible. And that unlocks the Bible. And by unlocking the Bible again can speed up something within us which is perhaps only there in a latent form. Now, Tracy says that the Christian science, when understood, coincides with the Bible. Her great endeavor was that when she began to see Christian science, that she had to prove that it does not conflict with the Bible, because at her time nobody would have liked to touch Christian science if it had conflicted with the Bible. Maybe very different today. But at her time, when the Bible was only divine authority. She had to prove and to struggle to present that her revelation, though the language was completely different, though she had stated in the textbook many things which were not plainly, directly stated in the Bible, that just the same, they didn't conflict with each other, but complemented each other. So the Christian Science coincides, she says, with the Scripture. She says that Christian Science is an interpretation of the Scripture and not an interpolation of the Scripture. In retro, she says the truths of Christian Science are not interpolations of the Scriptures, but the spiritual interpretation thereof. Science is the prism of truth. See, again she goes back to truth. Science is the prism of truth. Truth is a revelation which divides the rays and brings out the hues of deity. So, Christian Science is not an interpolation of the Scripture, nor is it what people sometimes feel an extrapolation of the Scripture. Now, interpolation, extrapolation, are these terms which you know?
Yeah.
You know the name, but you don't know what it means. Well, it's Mrs. Eddy who uses the term, so I don't think I must appear too academical about it, because it's very necessary to see that. An interpolation is if you... what is the definition? To alter or corrupt as a text by inserting new or foreign matter. To insert between other things or parts. That's interpolation. To put something in between so as to fill gaps. It's mostly used in mathematics where you interpolate or extrapolate in an order of numbers or in an order of factors. Showing that Christian Science is not filling in gaps of the Scriptures. That it is not something which states what is missing in the Bible. It's not an interpolation into it. It is something new. It is an interpretation. It gives a new meaning to what is there. It lifts, so to say, the Bible out of its translated meaning into the untranslated, original sense of its meaning. It is that Christian Science takes the Bible as symbolism, as phenomena, as teachings, and lifts it out of this symbolism and history and everything into its principle. And shows that behind it is a principle and a science. So this is not an interpolation, but a new interpretation of the Scripture. Many feel that it is an extrapolation of the Scripture. An extrapolation is when you have a certain text, like the Bible, and then lead on that text to the necessary consequences following out of the Bible. You have that especially in mathematics also, that you have an extrapolation when you have an order of numbers, and then you go on and lead on that order of numbers so that it does not interfere with the order. Is that right,
yes.
John? Yes. We have a high mathematician here. So, Christian Science is not taking the Bible and leading just the thought further. Christian Science is a breaking in of something very new. Just as in Jesus' time, he was not extrapolating the Old Testament by giving the New Testament. saying, here is the Old Testament, now I lead that thought on in the same rhythm and in the same way as the Old Testament. It's a breaking in of an influx of new life, of completely new vision, that has no intimate relationship or a relationship with the old. It brings it new dimensions. So, again, I think this is right to see that Christian Science, though spiritually, naturally, in the spiritual dimension, it is a divine order, an appearing in the divine order, but in the appearing of the divine order of the divine principle, and not so much of the biblical text. And yet, we always have again this yet, where Mrs. Eddy says, but the Bible was a guide. That the Bible was a guide in the straight and narrow way of truth. A sufficient guide to eternal life. Indicating again that in the Bible she found something very essential for her revelation. That the Bible was not at all inessential, but very essential. And this in spite of what she said, our Master healed the sick, practiced Christian healing, and taught the generalities of its divine principle to his students. But he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle of healing. This rule remained to be discovered in Christian Science. She says, I demonstrated the divine rules of Christian Science, and that this science showed that truth had lost none of its divine and healing efficacy since Jesus practiced these rules. She could see that that Jesus practice the rules without telling what the rules are, and that it was left to the revelation of Christian Science to find the principle and the rules. So this was the great addition which Christian Science brought. And she says that very explicitly in prose work, where she says, Christian Science contains the entire truth of the scriptures. In addition to this, as it says, in addition to this, Christian Science presents the demonstrable divine principle and rules of the Bible, hitherto undiscovered in the translations of the Bible, and lacking in the creeds. See what she is saying, that the textbook is really bigger than the Bible. We can say that among ourselves. If we say that in the byways and highways of the world, well, they will crucify us. And yet why? It should be just the other way around. It just should be the other way around, because if God is infinite, and therefore revelation has to go on because God is infinite. Therefore we only honor God by saying that something has happened in a progressive way since 2,000 years. And we honor God much more if we accept that the new, untranslated revelation of God is something bigger, more progressive, than that translated revelation of 2,000 and 4,000 years ago. One can sense naturally that in Mrs. Eddy's time, especially in the part of the world where she lived, where people were very religiously minded, perhaps even very orthodox, that it must have been very difficult for her to bring to the notice of the people that she had found something which is higher, more progressive than the Bible. First, she had to show that it didn't conflict with the Bible. But then, little by little, she had to show that it was bigger than the Bible. What then is the Bible in relation to her discovery? If her discovery is bigger, why didn't she discard the Bible? She says, divine science derives its sanction from the Bible. Well, sanction means confirmation, approbation. It is perhaps saying this, that we know that so many people have a revelation. But how can they know that it is a true revelation and not just their illusions? We know that out of the many Christs that were coming up in Jesus' time, that so many came up and said, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ, and people were fed up, and somebody came and said, I'm the Christ. So Jesus never said, I'm the Christ, until Peter voiced it, and it was nearly kept secret. Because how can we measure that a revelation is true and from God, and not just something which comes up from the unconscious individual mind? Where have we a standard to measure if our revelation is divine? And Mrs. Eddy had that standard by taking the Bible as her authority, to see if her revelation did not conflict with the Bible, then it had biblical authority. Then she knew that she was actually receiving a divine revelation. And so she looked for the Bible as a sanctioning for her revelation. She didn't look for the Bible as the source of revelation, but as the sanctioning of divine science. She looked for the Bible as that which foretold the coming of Christian science, which foretold the signs of the coming of the Christ, of the second appearing of the Christ, therefore Christian science. She must have found enormous strength and assurance and comfort in reading the Bible and seeing that the Bible was foreshowing the next appearing of signs. What be the signs? What the revelator would go through? What would be the difficulties and so on that would come up? And she must have got comfort from the Bible. Therefore she would say so often, I think it's in divinity course or so, I don't have the exact text, that for 40 years the Bible really was her inspiration and really guiding her, but guiding her in her strength. She says, the divine signs taught in the original language of the Bible came through inspiration. It didn't come through study of the Bible. It came through inspiration. And needs inspiration to be understood. So, the divine signs that we know is not foreign to the Bible, and we can see it in the Bible, so we may not find it from the Bible. We get revelation from God, but that revelation from God enables us to see that it is also in the Bible, and so we get the sanction from the Bible that our revelation is sane, is healthy, is true. Within Bible pages, she says, she had found all the divine signs she preaches. In the pages she has found it, not from the pages. It's there, but not from there. She always showed that her revelation was from above, from God. But when we see that new idea, that then we can, through that spiritual sense, somehow see it already in the Bible, adumbrated in the Bible, but it comes clearer and clearer as the untranslated statement in the textbook.